Well, Christmas is a, it's just such a good time. I love to celebrate Christmas. I think it's one of the most celebrated holidays in the entire world, and it's kind of a new fun for us, seeing Christmas through the eyes of grandchildren. Last Sunday after church, Thorne came up here and kind of picked up and held baby Jesus, and it's like one of those, aw, are you kidding me? And then there's this. I want to kiss the screen. A couple of weeks ago, Sharon and Thorne were talking about Christmas, looking at Christmas lights, and Thorne says to Nana, I love Christmas. You know, when you think about Christmas, it kind of like gets an entire month. We had our tree up, and if you do a tree, we just love it. We had our tree up before Thanksgiving. I mean, we enjoyed it so much. And why is there Christmas? One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. This is what it's all about. I mean, it's about carols. It's, you know, it's about decorations. It's about getting and giving. And Christmas is so much more. This is what the scripture says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, that is the gist of Christmas. And there are things that try to, you know, take Christmas out of us. Thorne and I, and as a family, I don't know, it was a week or so ago, we watched the old school, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And we talked about what the Grinch mean. And Thorne was like, why, Papa? Why, Papa? His heart was hardened and he was sad, Thorne. Why, Papa? Why, Papa? And he was just so cute. And I thought about that and I thought, you know what? There's some times in my life when I've been a little Grinched. And maybe you've kind of been a little Grinchy too. And I started thinking about that and I thought, you know, it's not too difficult for you and me actually to miss the heartbeat of Christmas. I mean, you maybe remember this story. It's the last week of Mary's pregnancy, and Joseph and her are going to Bethlehem. They have to be there because they need to be involved in a census for taxation from the Roman government. And so they get to Bethlehem, and Mary goes into labor. And so Joseph is thinking, oh, you know, my wife's in labor. And so he goes to the first camel inn to try to check in. And there's no room. And the innkeeper had no idea that he was so busy, he just missed the heartbeat of Christmas. This is what it says in Luke. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, that phrase, no room, is where I want to look just for a moment. I mean, for the innkeeper, I mean, his perspective, this is good. If you own a motel, you want it to be sold out. But the reality of that is he had no use for a little baby boy and a pregnant mom. And he had no idea. I mean, he had no idea who he was snubbing. The very fact that God was coming to earth, he missed it because he was too busy with his business. And I thought about that. I thought about me. I thought about you. And we're all busy. I mean, in 2020, we're extra busy just trying to stay alive. We're extra busy with how we plan and how we do things. It's been a busy year. But is it so busy that you and I can just get a little Grinched and we miss the heartbeat of Christmas? I remember a couple years ago, I was so busy doing the Christmas thing, I never paused and reflected on why there is the Christmas thing. And I think it was maybe a week after Christmas and things finally started to settle down and I thought, wow, I missed the meaning of Christmas. I mean, it's not like I became an atheist and gave up on God and, you know, didn't want to do everything we had to do with Christmas, but in my heart, I didn't make room for the purpose of Christmas because I was just too busy. And that's something I want you to think about this morning. And then you know that Mary and Joseph had a little baby Jesus. You know that there were shepherds, there were wise men. You know this. If you've been in church, you've been there, you've done that. And you know the songs. You know the traditions. You know the story. And so did every single religious leader before Jesus came to earth. Every one of them had studied and in anticipation were waiting for the Savior to come. So knowing that about the religious leaders of Jesus' day, did you also know that when Jesus was born, when Jesus came to earth as a human, not one religious person was invited to go see him? Did you know that? There wasn't a religious authority. There wasn't a priest. There wasn't a scribe. There wasn't a theologian. Not one of them was invited. You see, you can become so familiar with Christmas. You can become so familiar with anything that you're not amazed anymore. You can miss the heartbeat of Christmas, the beauty of it all, because you and me take it for granted. And that's exactly what happened to the religious leaders. I mean, the Bible tells us that there are wise men from the east, and they saw some kind of star. We don't know where they're from. We don't know a whole lot about them, but here's what we do know. They were scholars. They studied the stars, they paid attention, and when they saw something unusual, they said, hey, let's go check it out. So in the Gospels, we see they arrived in Jerusalem, and they asked for a meeting with King Herod, the king of Israel. And here's the question they asked. Hey, where's the Savior going to be born? Where's this Messiah going to be born? The Anointed One, the Son of God, where is the baby going to be born? And King Herod, he doesn't have the foggiest idea. He doesn't have a clue. So what does he do? In the middle of the night, he calls for the religious leaders and the scholars of Jerusalem. And they come, and he says, you need to tell me about this. Is there going to be this baby, the Messiah? What's going on? The religious leaders knew exactly what he was talking about. And they were able to quote for him. I mean, they'd waited hundreds of years. They had discussed it. They had debated it. They detailed it for the king. This is how it reads in Matthew. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem of Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet, so this is Micah from years before, wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, were not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. I want you to notice something here. They knew every detail, and yet they too missed the heartbeat of Christmas. It wasn't that they were too busy. It was just that it was so familiar. I mean, I don't even know how this is possible, that you have foreign dignitaries come all the way to Israel. They meet with the king. The king calls you as a religious scholar in the middle of the night and says, get here now. And so when the king says that, you come. And he asks them, what is going on? You explain it perfectly. You quote the scriptures. Not to mention, there's this unusual star that's leading them. And is tomorrow the day that we're all supposed to be looking and the planets are going to align and we're going to see the star and there's going to be a new, I don't know. I mean, kind of that's happening. So all of that happens. And check this out. After all of this, would you think the religious leaders would say, we need to check this out? Absolutely not. I mean, do you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? 5 miles. And the religious leaders of the day would rather debate about Jesus than go see Jesus. And I think about you, and I think about me, and I think about Christmas. It's easy to be too busy with our business to remember the entire reason we have Christmas. And it's easy for us to be too familiar. I mean, for some pastors to try to make Christmas and Easter sound better than it is hard. I've talked about this. I just don't know how to make Christmas any better. I mean, I've said everything I need to say. Well, the reality is, what more do we need to say? Christ came that we might have life. And you've heard the story. You know the traditions. And what is just a little bit alarming is everybody's talking about everything except that God came to earth for us. The heart of Christmas, God came to have a relationship with you, and God came to have a relationship with me. And it's wild. But this is what the scripture records. In Ephesians chapter 4, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. It seems a little crazy that the religious leaders of the day missed it. I mean, it's a warning for you, it's a warning for me that we don't want to live like the Grinch. We don't want to have our heart hardened, and when we look at the things of Christmas, we don't really look at why we have Christmas. And we've added, even since I was a little kid, there's all these extra things with Christmas. I mean, there's extra movies, extra this, extra that, and then there's the elf that went on the shelf. And then, you know, I mean, all of this stuff. And what about the reason for all of it? That's not what I want for you. That's not what I want for me this year. So how can you be sure that you don't miss Christmas this year? I mean, even starting right now, how can you be sure? Number one is we have to realize that we can't fill our life with all the less important things and think the main thing is going to matter. Don't let the busyness of business keep you from knowing God. We're here such a short time. Last week, we told you about the things that were going on in Costa Rica and how God radically used us and we brought a blessing. One of the people who allowed us to do this, some of you don't know her, but some of you do, is Marion Jones. The whole reason I began to go to Costa Rica is because her daughter was here on our staff and she died young of cancer. And the Lord put on my heart, don't let what Liz has done be finished. So I started going to Costa Rica and Liz's mom, Marion, set up a fund. And on our books, it's called the Liz Jones Fund or the Jones Fund. And every time we go and do something for missions and we need some resources, I shoot Marion a little note and say, hey, does this sound good? And this time going to Costa Rica, she said, Jim, I want you to be able to go. I want you to be a blessing. Although right before I went, she sent me a little note that said, it's too dangerous. I'm not sure you should go. You could get COVID. The day after we got back, I know that Marion's very ill. And this last Monday, she died of COVID and went to be with the Lord. But you understand, before she died, she's 93 years old. She's doing the church thing every week. She's in an assisted living home. She's playing the organ. She's doing a Bible study. And she said to me, Jim, I want you to take $5,000. Do you know what she did? She lived a life on purpose. And life, no matter how long you live, even if it's 93, like the Saint Marian, it's still short, right? And this is what Psalm says. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Now, if it was my hand, it's a little bit bigger life. But for some of you, it may not be as big. So my entire life is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving. Only hope is grasping the heartbeat of Christmas. My hope is in the Lord. So if you want to keep that heartbeat of Christmas going in your life, we've got to quit being so busy with our business and focus on the very reason we have Christmas. I mean, you understand this. You would agree sometimes we're so busy making a living that we forget to make a life. And I think if God were to talk to us today, he'd say, chill out. Put your hope in Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. To keep the heart of Christmas, quit filling your life with things that don't even matter. I'm telling you, it's so fun for me to look through the eyes of a little child again and realize that over the years, you can get a little jaded. You can get a little shallow. You cannot realize, you know, through a little kid's eyes when you turn on the Christmas tree and, you know, like Thorne sees, it's like, wow, amazing. Not only do we want to fill our life less with things that don't matter, if you really want to keep the heartbeat of Christmas, not just for Christmas, you've got to keep searching. You've got to keep thirsty. You've got to keep seeking. The problem, if you've been in church for a little while, you know it all. Or at least you think you know it all. But it's not about what you know, it's about what you do. I promise you, you didn't know as much as the religious leaders of that day. I promise you, you don't know as much as the theologians know. I promise you, you're taking out sweet baby. Well, look at her. Come back. Yeah, bring her back. It's fine. Oh, dang. You know what? What a great example. We need to be dependent. Oh, look at that. We're going to do this together. Think about this. Herod got one thing right. This is what Matthew says. Let's read it together. Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. You see, what happens is that you become a believer for a while. You were all fired up for Jesus at one time. And now you're not as fired up because you already know. You know it all. The problem is we can know it all and do nothing about it. The problem is we can know it all and our world doesn't seem to be becoming more like Jesus because we know it all. And I encourage you, I love, you know, here's the problem. We get familiar. We get familiar with the Christmas story. We get familiar with Christ. And it leads to complacency. I just want to encourage you and me that this could be the best Christmas ever, but it will not be if we're too busy, and it will not be if we keep... Where are we going there, Pumpkin? All right, I think you want to sit down. Hi. Yeah, you can. Goodbye, sweet baby. Man. If she asked me, even though she can't talk, I would buy her a car today. No problem. Listen to what Jeremiah writes. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Do you still realize that God has a plan for your life? One of the things that Gretel said to me, our missionary friend who was here last week, she said, Jim, I love it here in America. It's so beautiful. But I think I need to live in my country. I said, why is that? She says, it looks like you people have everything you need. And you don't even really need Jesus. She said, but in my country, there's still a lot of great needs. And so that's probably where I should live. What she doesn't know is that we've given ourselves everything that is humanly possible, and we're the most unsatisfied we've ever been. But we keep trying to fill our hearts with a synthetic excitement, with a false sense of hope, and we don't have what she thinks we have. And Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I know that Christmas time is not fun for everybody. I know that for Marion's family, they're grieving right now because their special mom died. I know that it's not easy for everybody, and I don't want to pretend like it is. But I also know this: when we really press into the Lord, we can find hope. We can know that there's a future in Him. He wants to be a part of your life. For God so loved the world, He died so that we could have a relationship with Him. The problem is when we get so familiar with Him, we're like, I want to try to do this. You know, I want Jesus first and this, and this, and this, and this, and that's not how it works. It says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look to me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Is it possible that maybe you're not too busy for Christmas, but you're just so familiar with Christmas that you've actually forgotten to continue to seek, to continue to be hungry? I want to challenge you that you don't need to be like those people who celebrate every tradition of Christmas. They're giving presents, they're lighting trees, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing all of this stuff, and yet they don't even get the meaning of Christmas. God says, "You're going to find me, but it's after you seek me. And I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak to you and give you hope in a future, but it's after you talk to me." God says, "I want you to be a seeker." You see, that's the way we celebrate Christmas all year long. And at Hope Church, we've said this again and again and again. We're all about helping you to seek Him, helping you to serve Him, helping you to share Him. And what an honor that we get to practice that together. But I can become real familiar with it all. And then the seeking gets a little bit less. The serving gets a little bit less. The sharing gets a little bit less. And then we're dumbfounded. Why? Why is our satisfaction less? Why am I getting more but living less? Why is it that I have most of the things that I want, but I still feel so raw and empty inside? Not one religious leader was invited to the party. That's something to think about. I love that you're here at Hope Church. Those who are watching online, I love that you're watching online. But being here and watching is the first step to the next step. Are we singing one more song? Okay. Those who are going to sing that song, thanks for singing. Why don't you come up here, and I'm going to kind of wrap up with this. You know the whole reason we give gifts at Christmas? It's because these wise men started the tradition. They brought gifts to Jesus, and because they brought gifts, we bring gifts. You hopefully will give a gift, and you'll hopefully get a gift. Okay, now think about this just for a moment. What are you giving to Christ, Jesus, this year? You're going to give gifts to everybody else. You're going to get gifts from everybody else. But what are you going to give Jesus? And you're like, I don't know. What do you give to the guy who's got everything? I mean, you know, what do you give to Jesus? I mean, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue's going to confess. What do you give to the guy who has everything? Here's what you give to Jesus. What he's wanted all along. You give him what he doesn't have. I know you're busy. I know you've heard of Christmas. I know you get the traditions. But he doesn't have your time unless you give a little bit of it to him. He doesn't have your love unless you show it to him. He doesn't have your trust unless you actually trust him. He does not have your life. He does not have my life unless I actually live for him. Right? It's not I want to know about him. It's that I'm going to live what I know. Isn't it crazy that you could receive all kinds of gifts and even give gifts, and we completely forget that the whole purpose and where this started is that they brought gifts to Jesus. Here's what I love about today. I love Christmas, but I also know I've missed it before because I was too busy with my busyness. And I also know that throughout the year, I can become familiar with a lot of things and I'm not as fervent. I'm not seeking like I know I should be seeking. I'm not serving. I'm not sharing like I know I should. And we've got a couple of days to Christmas. This could be your best Christmas ever. Not because of what you get, but because you're actually responding to the gift giver. You're actually seeking the Lord and seeing that you have a future and a hope. You're actually understanding that he hears you and he has a plan for you come this next year. Well, that's another sweet baby, and I heard what that baby said. Pastor, are you done? Yes, thank you. Let's pray together. Father God, what a gift that you have given us in Jesus. Father God, thank you that for unto us a child is born. Emmanuel, God with us. My prayer is simple. It's a prayer, a personal prayer, and a prayer for the friends at Hope Church that I love so dearly. Help us not to be so busy that when Christmas is over, we realize we missed you because we never thought about you. Help us, God, I pray, that we're not so familiar, that we're like the religious leaders and we know it all, but we're not invited to the party. We don't want to have that. Help us to seek you. Help us to be hungry for you. Help us, God, to put you in that place where we can talk to you, that we might have a future and a hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's your birthday we celebrate. May we give you the gift of us, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.